Thanks for listening to the Drummer's Weekly Groovecast. You can contact the show at twitter.com/DW Groovecast and through Facebook at facebook.com/Drummer's Weekly Groovecast.
Good evening.
I am warning you right now, if you touch my drums, I will stab you in the neck with a knife.
Ain't a fucking. Ain't a fucking.
Mom!
Take it easy. Lower it.
I'm not going to lower it. I have to do this now.
I don't mind you playing it, but lower it.
Are we going straight now?
No, we had a problem. I mean, we tried to do everything we could.
What do you mean?
Well, you know what I mean.
Nice!
A little trouble there. You're rushing.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
Yeah!
What's up, Groovecast brothers and sisters?
John, it's good to be here.
I'm excited about being back in the saddle, jawing about drumming and such.
It's good to be anywhere these days, isn't it?
I don't know. Like balmy Atlanta.
You need to tell these folks what kind of mess we've been in here at Hothlanta over the last few days.
We were bamboozled into thinking the winter wonderland was upon us.
I'm telling you, man, we've got a grand total of a dusting of snow that crippled a city of 6 million.
Pitiful. I spent yesterday consoling my 8 and 9 year old boys. They were just devastated. Thanks, nature.
I was going to say, you have to think that the media is behind all this, right? Either that or the Russians.
It's got to be the Russians. If we have snow, you'll have snow.
We had nothing and you'll like it.
Yeah, it sounds like communist breadline or something, right?
I'm telling you, if anybody wanted to take over Atlanta, all you have to do is wait till you have a bad weather forecast and then come on in and take over. Everybody's gone. We left the keys on the desk. Come in and take it.
Well, hey, I'd be remiss if I didn't apologize for my lack of focus in the previous podcast.
Oh, do tell. Lack of coffee, boy.
I was just like, I figured it out on WebMD. I have rock star name dyslexia.
Wow, man, that's pretty sexy. Tell me about that.
Well, although it's very rare, a rare disorder, apparently Robert Plant in my brain becomes Robert Palmer.
Wow. Well, at least they're British.
Well, yeah. And if they had made that mistake in, like, say, a podcast show's, you know, preparations, they probably have a friend that would have said, no, I said Robert Plant, not Robert Palmer. But you just left me hanging out there for your entertainment and our, what'd you call it? Our bloopers.
Our B-roll, you know, that they shoot is what it is. But now look.
Why do I have a sneaking suspicion I'll be the only one on that?
But listen, I'm going to be completely and totally upfront about this also. Low be it from me that Donnie Wynn could have played with Robert Plant as well. I just didn't know.
It certainly
could have happened, right?
Would have been a possibility.
Like you said, if Richie Hayward was kicking it with Robert Plant, then Wynn absolutely could have been.
Yeah, it would have been a good fit. Hey, Donnie, well, make it happen, bro.
If Robert Plant is still even kicking it these days. Well, he's kicking it more than Robert Palmer is, that's for sure.
Although, I don't know if I'd... The way who's that fella that plays on Raising Sand with all the vintage drums?
Bellerose?
Bellerose, man.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd want to follow that guy. He's got a voice of his own for sure.
He does, man. I'll tell you though, I don't envy him soaking calfskin heads in the bathtub though.
No, that's where I draw the line.
I draw the line at plastic heads, much changing those, much less calfskin heads.
I'm starting to draw the line at changing heads.
I was gonna say I've got drum heads on, man, that are older than your kids.
They sound like a million bucks.
Yeah, but seriously, folks, how about that Team USA U20?
Yes, sir.
World champions. I got to throw that in there. There's going to be some people that are going to give me grief over it because they hate it any time we say anything outside of drums. But man, Team USA under 20, junior champions.
I'm going to give us 15 minutes to talk about this. Ready?
Right on, man. Go. Troy Terry.
Just kidding.
Okay.
It was great, man. That's good stuff. Those kids are flying high.
To at least give myself a little bit of credit that a few people like to hear about this, I changed my cover photo on Facebook to the team celebration, and I got several nice mentions and comments underneath from some of the people who listened to our show. So there.
And several people that had the, like, huh?
Well,
there's kind of response.
Well, one of them happened to be my elderly aunt that thought that my son was on that team.
Did I you love see that? I saw that.
Yeah. So anyway,
he got a kick out of it. I see.
He sure did. My response was not yet. He's still got a couple years before he's even old enough to be there. But anyway, well, onward and upward, folks. Speaking of social media, John.
Mm-hmm.
We need to continue to encourage our people to do a few things.
And it rolls off your tongue.
Well, thank you so much. At least I'm worth something, even if I'm not good at sniffing out Robert Plant versus Robert Palmer. But, folks, if you would, when you get a minute, please swing by iTunes and leave us a nice review. As John likes to say, cinco stars, por favor. Let the folks know that you like our show. It helps us very much from the standpoint of making the show a little bit more visible to people who are searching for drumming podcasts. So please do that. Swing by iTunes, Drummers Weekly Groovecast. Leave us a nice review. Doesn't have to be long. Doesn't have to have a whole lot of, you know, glowing accolades. Just a quick sentence and five stars, and we'd be greatly, greatly, greatly appreciative. And as always, you can always reach out to us to talk to us. Tell us what you like. Tell us what you hate. Tell us whatever you want to tell us. Tell us you got snowed in for 2 days, even though you didn't. That's what we're going to tell you. But you can always reach out to us. Our email address is drummersweeklygroovecast@gmail.com. Our Facebook account is facebook.com/drummersweeklygroovecast. And our bustling Twitter account, John. I mean, we're the George Jefferson of the Twitter world. Twitter.com/DW Groovecast. New followers every day. Love multiple it. New followers every day on Twitter.
Thank
Love
you.
It.
Thank you.
Yes. John, when you contacted me about this topic today, first off, I thought, good on you. Secondly, it once again ties in to several different things that we've covered in the past. It ties in towards getting yourself established in new cities, right? Mm-hmm. It also ties in directly to every single interview that we've done, because each one of these interviewees made it a point somewhere during their interview to talk about this topic. So if you would, tell the folks what we're going to talk about today.
Well, today we're going to get a little more in depth about relationships and how important they are on so many levels as far as your career is concerned. And I'm excited about it because we're going to get into, some specifics of interests you have, be it teaching and, I'm real into collecting, buying and selling drums. So it's beyond just the gig realm and the, peers regarding playing and all that. There's a lot more in depth, a lot more in depth, things that have to do with relationships and how they can really help your career in a lot of ways.
Well, you have to face it that regardless of, how socially inept or how socially wonderful you might be, we are dependent on other people whenever we play music, whether it's just in the basement or whether it's we're trying to make a living doing it. So this is an incredibly important topic.
yeah, I mean, we're not gonna, I know as drummers, you know, we're not gonna be playing a solo gig down the street. So it even is more important for us to be a little bit more locked into the importance of it.
I think Ari Honig plays some solo gigs.
Well, of course he does.
His name's Ari. Why wouldn't he?
And he lives in New York. They can do those things.
Put out the old tip hat and kind of play a little, play around a little bit.
A motif, tell a story. You know, that kind
every of... time I solo, I tell a story, John.
Yeah, I do too.
What is
and
your
this,
story?
And in this passage will tell you that I didn't spend much time with rudiments. And this one will be my failed linear nonsense. I'm telling a story.
That's a good one. Yeah. I like that's one of my favorite stories, as a matter of fact.
Of course it is. It just makes you feel better about yourself. Fine.
But, well, I'll tell you one thing in particular, though, that I think is important to note about this topic is that inherently most musicians have a loner streak in them, if not just being a complete loner. Because if you do think about what we do, especially as we come up, we spend a lot of time alone, a lot of time practicing alone, mm-hmm. a lot of times just studying our craft alone, listening to music alone, that type thing. And how many times have you ever met certain players and or have been talking about players and they go, man, that guy, he's like a social retard, man. He can't even, you know, he can barely function in society because he's so locked into what he's doing. We sometimes kind of romanticize that a little bit because we think about these different, you know, these masters that, man, you know, have problems communicating and that kind of stuff.
That's really true.
It is, you know. And so, you know, there's all these legendary stories, man, about musicians, you know, being these pods that kind of seclude themselves and, you know, work on their craft only to surface when it's time for a gig and then they blow everybody away. So we want to kind of talk a little bit about how you can have a little bit of the best of both worlds.
Well, you know, along those lines too, how many guys do you know that are, you know, serious musicians and really successful that were like cool guy at the kegger in high school? You know, I mean, it's just not. So that really does play into your opinion about, you know, loners is that we all, most of us are. I mean, I can remember in later high school, sometimes my parents would be like, you're going to go do something or go out? And I'd be just listening to records or this and that. And I know a lot of guys like that, you know, a lot of people like that, that, you know, they just sort of focused on that thing. And true, you know, honestly, you almost have to do that to get to a level of pursuing a career.
Oh, yeah. I think that most people who end up, like you said, pursuing a career that are very serious about doing this, there's certainly a period of years that, for lack of a better term, get lost socially
mm-hmm.
in that way. And you sometimes have trouble kind of conjuring that back up if you even ever had it before to get to the point to where you can make, you know, some relationships happen. Because let's just face it, we've talked about it before, there are many times where very qualified folks don't get gigs just from the standpoint of being either socially awkward or socially bad, you know, just not being a nice person.
Right.
You know,
unbearable to be around and
yeah,
uncompromising and all of those horrible things we've witnessed.
Yeah. So we want to try to help you figure out a few things, turn a few things around if need be.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was thinking about how in the early years of our development, I go back to that time, and a couple things came to mind. One was, you know, the relationships I had as I got serious about playing were just like-minded friends who really wanted to, you know, hone in on their instrument and were serious about it. And it just kind of gave you this affirmation that, you know, your interest in this and your desire to do this is valid, in that, you know, it wasn't some weird thing that you're, you know, so far outside of the norm or whatever. There were like people that, you know, had that same drive and desire, and it really helped me to kind of just find my own place, like having these like-minded friends. And I, you know, when I think about that group of people, like, it's kind of like sports in that it presented a lot of opportunities to trust each other and work together and even be vulnerable, you know. And those are life lessons beyond playing that were really important. And those relationships were kind of a safe haven, you know.
You and I both have friends that we grew up with, whether it be like childhood grow up with, or we'll call it like formative musicians years growing up, like late teens, early 20s, that we still work with today.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the most valuable lessons I learned regarding developing relationships is that you can be stuck in a bad gig. You can be stuck in a weird session. You can be doing whatever with a group of musicians. And after that gig is over, after that session's over, the only thing that actually survives from that is the friendship or the relationship that you've made with some of these people.
Mm-hmm.
And that absolutely is the case that that has happened with me. And
sometimes bonding over the misery of it too.
That's true.
Brings people closer together.
Yeah.
You know, I can't believe we got through that gig, man. It's so, you know, that in itself can be really, you know, advantageous to the growth of a relationship.
Yeah. I mean, in some ways, these people that you meet, like one of the things that I've talked about on the show before, is that when you find people, especially like in an educational setting, like when I went to undergraduate school and graduate school, there are still people in both of those situations, even though it's been, in some cases, nearly 30 years, that I still work with and still, you know, even if I don't talk to them on a daily basis, I can still reach out to them. I can still email them, still call them and be, you know, be friendly with them and also work with them. I'll tell you this, our little John Roberts interview that we had in so many ways was facilitated in one way or another through a common friend that we had that I went to undergraduate school with that also knows little John.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, absolutely. Making sure that you maintain these relationships, develop them, and then maintain them after certain gigs and sessions, that could be the only thing good that comes out of them.
Yeah. I mean, my best friend, we met our first year in college, and we played together on, you know, the main gig for you know, financial setting and all that. Like, we've done those gigs for, I'd say in 30 years, probably 25, 26 of them, we were locked in on that, like our main steady gig playing together. And then another guy, only a couple years later, we both were in a band with, is the leader of a band I play with to this day. Those are huge, man.
I would say you just made a good point that relationship actually led to another one.
Yeah. And I don't know if I made a good point. I mean, it wasn't terribly clear, but it was a point nonetheless. But in any event, you know, there were, like you talk about like that early in college, you know, you're breaking out of whatever situation you're in high school, and then you inevitably meet, you know, players that are kind of more on your level, players that are, you know, as focused as you, and you're gonna bond with these people because, you know, it's just similar interests, similar focus, and fortunately, a lot of people, those relationships remain. And it's and are beneficial. So I get a lot of work from people I know from 30 years ago.
Well, and like you said, also, even as adults, that, I mean, they become great support systems just emotionally and personally as well. You know, I mean, there's, you got to admit that what we do for a living, there's not that many people outside of our business that can actually relate.
That's true.
You know, to some of the stuff that we have to deal with and that we do.
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, kind of tied, so we talk about some of these, but we've gotten into that, you know, late teens, early 20s thing. There's a period of time for almost everyone I've ever talked to about this where 3 or 4 years where you're just kind of getting out, you're starting to play a lot more, you're establishing yourself as a professional, and you have this period where there's just this camaraderie formed with friends that are young like that and doing the same thing. And I look back on that period of time and, you know, there's so much that was beneficial to those relationships. Like, you know, you're living together, you're going and checking out each other's gigs and supporting each other and sharing practice space and gear. But I mean, just the emotional support that I remember from that time of like, am I making the right decision? Is this, you know, this is kind of weird and scary and, you know, I'm busy here, but not here. And, you know, that's a tough time at that age. We go through it later and you're like, it's a slow period. It'll be okay. But, you know, back then you're like, what? Oh my God, you know? And just having that support from those friends was so great in keeping your eye on the prize. And a lot of those people who I hold near and dear to my heart are still friends of mine to this day. And I just look back on that period as exciting as it was and as carefree as it was, you know, it was emotionally and it could be difficult.
It's a little bit of us against the world.
Yeah,
you absolutely. Know, it's when you have a bunch of kids that sometimes it goes it's as close to home as the parents saying, man, I don't think you're going to be able to do this. You need something to fall back on. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a big, scary world out there. And sometimes if your friends don't have that kind of parental support or other friends' support, because again, it can come from parents and come friends, relatives that say, hey, I don't think you're going to be able to do this. Sometimes all you have are your other close friends that are kind of in this business as a support group. And so you develop that it's us against the world kind of mentality.
That's so true. I remember it clearly as you say it, you know, just like, we got this. We're all in this together. Let's make it happen.
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to a defeatist attitude. And that was very, very important to me as far as moving forward for sure.
It's good to have people help you share the rent. And one thing that's kind of aside, or it kind of goes along with that, is folks who are musicians, we make a lot of noise. And so if it works out well for you, you could also have a roommate who's also a musician, or several roommates that are musicians. You could find the like kind of house or the like kind of lodging that everybody would be together in, split the rent on, and everybody could practice and, mm-hmm. you know, hone their craft that way. So there's so many different things you can ride share to gigs. These kind of relationships, man, are incredibly important. They're very beneficial to everyone all around. And I think another thing is sometimes you don't necessarily realize it when it's going on at that time. But yeah, that kind of camaraderie, I think it's extra strong between drummers.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah, I think we proved time and time again that we're a special breed in that regard. You know, I rarely meet a drummer I don't like.
You ever been to a PASIC convention?
That may be why I've rarely met a drummer I don't like. No, I have not been to one.
I can, you know what? The answer PASIC convention can be used like 12 different ways every time it's brought up. Good, bad, indifferent, ugly, overblown.
So, no, I haven't been to one. And I'm glad because I really like the majority of drummers I have met and that I know. And you too, Phil.
I was going to say, so this in mind, we'll have our booth at the PASIC convention 2017 this year.
Yeah, well, I'll probably get a nice discount. So another thing that I think I've had the pleasure of developing relationships in is kind of the, I call it, you know, that some of the different aspects of our career. And, you know, for some people it could be teaching.
Yeah.
Some people it could be, you know, they're working, you know, teching in studios or something like that. And you meet, again, like-minded people and all that. And, you know, in my case, it was, I had a real serious focus on buying and selling a lot of drums. And, I mean, the community in that respect, you know, I've met so many quality people like that. And they... especially this drum community, this drum collectors community, where, I mean, people are just ready, willing, able to help you in any way, shape, or form. Finding something, helping move something, helping sell something. I know someone who wants that. You know, it's just endless in that respect. And it's something that, you know, outside of just that tunnel vision gig world, you know, that I think is really important. It really helped me, not only financially, but relationally. I met a lot of great people in something that had, you know, outside of gigging. So there's, you know.
That buying and selling bunch, man, that's quite a unique group of folks, man. I mean, that's an international thing.
Yeah, it is.
You know.
Most definitely.
Like I said, I've sold some things, man, to folks in Italy and Germany and some other places like that in Europe. That's a very active community right there.
It is. And again, with the rare exception, it's just quality people. And, you know, truth be told, in that particular group of folks, man, if you're not up to par with being honest and, you know, being a good guy, you get run out pretty quick. But nonetheless, the relationships have been so beneficial, and you really, you know, I'm guessing in your case, you know, you've bonded with some teachers as far as, you know, approach and, you know, pros and cons and all that, and you can really get into some of that.
Let me tell you, having good confidants in the teaching world that you respect and that has experience, man, that's one of the most valuable sets of relationships that I have. Man, I mean, there's nothing like being able to call somebody up or see somebody and literally just go, man, how do you teach, say, flam taps? How do you explain that? Is there something in particular, man, that I'm not being able to, you know, get across to these students? It is amazing, man, the camaraderie, man, between teachers. I talk to some of my old teachers to this day, you know, to find out different ways that they approach different things, different techniques, because I think one of the things that we're guilty of as teachers, and you could probably say this about players also, is that we are very set in our ways and very comfortable teaching things that we have been taught. And sometimes it's a little bit tough to break out of that and kind of find your own voice. And there's nothing more inspiring than calling a teacher that you had lessons with 20 years ago and just ask them, what are you teaching these days? And it's something completely different than what you learned from them 20 years ago. And it just kind of shows you that, hey, these people are growing, moving forward, discovering new things. Kind of makes you want to, you know, push forward and learn a few things, cover some new ground.
And in turn, maintain those relationships, because you're learning right along with them, and the inspiration and all of that as well is, you know, that's incredible that you.
Well, and absolutely, and we have to think in terms of us being teachers, that we have to be good and effective communicators, and so therefore you also don't forget about the relationship you have with the student. Right. In other words, the relationship that you're able to cultivate with a student, because every single one of them's different.
That's true.
So you have to be a bit of a people person, just from the standpoint of this guy is going to learn a bit, little bit differently than this girl. This person wants to learn something different than this person. This person can't learn this the same way that this person, even though it's the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. So we have to have a good bit of relationship skills to be able to get in there and be effective with our students as well. So yeah, from a teaching standpoint, man, you can look at that a bunch of different ways. It's between other teachers, and it's also between students and teachers as well.
Well, I mean, I'll say in the same breath, you could say that about customers.
Yeah.
You know, and how I might have one guy that comes by and, man, he wants to sit and talk for an hour, just talk here. Mm-hmm. Another guy might just be like, man, I got to get it. I got to go. You know, and knowing those nuances and all that, you know, those relationships and how you develop them, you know, benefit you as a seller for sure. I know, you know, I have a lot of people I know, and I might talk to one completely different than the other, but they're really, you know, it's really cool to see how all of that plays in. And I really, you know, I never really look at like developing relationships as a drag. I'm kind of a people person. I like people, you know?
Yeah.
So it's all good, but I get more fascinated by the differences and the nuances at this point too, about, you know, how, and that certainly goes with musicians, you know, how you deal with different musicians. But
let me tell you, any time that I speak to someone that they just don't know you and they ask about you, one thing I've always said is that there's something that John has, an intangible when you meet him that, man, you, first off, you automatically like him. You're a likable dude.
Oh, thank you.
And then the second thing is that part of the thing that makes you so likable is that you make the other person that you're meeting, you make them feel welcome. You feel like that you're interested in what they've got to say. So, I mean, that's quite a warm and welcoming vibe that you put forth.
Well, that's cool. And man, I don't think about it, so I'm lucky.
Yeah.
And you know, that's there's no bragging rights there. It's just kind of, I drew the lucky straw in that sense, that it's always been pretty easy. But I do know, like, I, in my case, I'm genuinely interested in people. You know, so it's not just like, hey, let me ask you what's happening just to be polite.
Well,
you know, that's something that some people struggle with.
Well, we've mentioned time and time again that this is the business that people like to get over on other people in. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of crap out there floating around. And I've never felt like that, man, ever. From the very first time I met you 20 some odd years ago, that it's felt like that. But that is a problem that is pretty endemic in, I would say, almost every part of the entertainment or music business. There's a lot of fake people out there, man, that try to get over on others. Not cool.
Yeah, that's something that I've always felt people could see right through you.
Mm-hmm.
And so it never was appealing to me to try to be something I'm not. I mean, we all go through our little phases where we maybe front a little bit, but never to any extreme and never to the detriment of relationships or professional settings or, you know, anything along those lines. Your business dealings, you know, none of that's ever been, I've always felt like, man, people are going to see right through it. And I think in general they do.
You would hope, although there's been times I've doubted that. I've, you know, seen different situations that didn't seem to be that way. Maybe they did turn out that way. I don't know. But, you know, you certainly don't want to be the person who's the bridge burner in relationships or the person that just walks on somebody to get somewhere else.
Yeah, man, that's just... That's when you need to realize you are definitely not a sole proprietor. You're going to have to work with other people, and you know, to take on that mentality or that approach, it's going to be a short-lived career.
I mean, it will catch up to you.
Definitely. Even the most talented people we've known, we've seen some people really, really suffer at the hand of self-indulgence and self-centeredness. And, you know, I just can't encourage people enough to get past that. Because besides the fact that you're going to have a much better time hanging out with and playing music with people if you're not wrapped up in that. But and you also might end up just growing as a person. I don't think people that have that mentality grow a lot, you know, other than maybe their chops. But
yeah,
outside of that, life experiences, how do they benefit if they're just solely focused on themselves?
That is very true, because as everyone should be aware of, there are plenty, plenty, plenty of fine players that would love to have the gig that this other person's got. That's, you know, just not being a nice person.
Yeah.
Just as a matter of fact, in one situation that I'm involved in right now, that was the case recently.
Just had to make a change.
Well, I had a friend tell me years ago, sometimes people don't learn until they lose the gig.
Oh, man.
You know, and it's absolutely this issue that I'm talking about is a relationship problem.
Yeah.
It's not being able to deal with
most of the time in our settings. That's typically what it is.
Yeah.
Because we're at a level now where, you know, someone's not getting hired that's mediocre.
Very true.
It's pretty much a given. You can play and you got it together and musically, so then relationally, you know, if you're shooting yourself in the foot, that it's just your people skills, not your music skills.
Yeah, the baseline expectation is that you can play your tail off, that anything that comes your way, you can absolutely play it. That's the baseline.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So there are a lot of things that are not on that page of music that you also need to be skilled at. And this, unfortunately, was a situation where someone was not.
Well, that's sad. But
this podcast is coming too late for this person.
Oh, we failed them.
Yeah.
I will say, I think that of the people I've known that have been fired in the last 20 years, every one of them was amazing.
Yeah.
You know, like just flat out killing it. Just killing it. But off stage or, you know, in their personal life or, you know, just not having it together. You know, sometimes it could be a lack of respect for others. Sometimes it could be a, you know, just something as stupid as like habitually late.
Yeah.
You know, drinking problems. All that. It never has to do with the playing.
That's very true.
And it's such it's a sad state, man, that, you know, we're really blessed to do this, and then you got, you know, things that are just tripping you up.
Yeah,
and oftentimes that person can't see it.
Right, because one of the things you alluded to is that sometimes it's a lack of respect for yourself.
Yeah.
Drugs, alcohol, gambling. There's a whole host of different addictions out there that can make you or make your relationships beyond strained with others to the point to where they just can't deal with you again.
Yeah.
You know, because, I mean, aside from naturally the personal relationship you have, the business relationship that you have, those two things, if they don't jive, if they don't go together, man, you're done.
Done. Yeah, that's a sad commentary on plenty of people we know that should be somewhere further along and aren't. But you know what? Worry about yourself.
Yeah.
And take care of business and have it together. And if you have shortcomings, you know, I'm habitually late. Figure it out. Maybe I'm drinking a little too much on the gig. Stop. You know, maybe I just can't get on the same page with this guy and there's just constant tension. Make sure it's not you.
We alluded last week that in general, humans are wired to remember and maximize negative events. And then a lot of times the positive events get minimized. And if you have a bad relationship with somebody, if you do something negative to them, that's the kind of thing that can stick with you for years. Mm-hmm. It takes a long time to get past that. You might have to have 50 great experiences with other folks before it comes back around to the person that you really burned that one time to kind of give you the green light and say, this guy's, you know, he's back where he needs to be now. He's a good guy. He's changed himself.
That's great.
Yeah.
I can think of a couple people that really turned it around, and I'm so happy for them. Their lives are infinitely better, and they're doing what they should be doing and sharing their gift and all that. And so it can be done.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of it is just taking ownership.
It absolutely is. Being aware of it and then taking ownership of it.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you really can't take ownership of it until you're aware that you're actually being that way, being an ass.
Yeah. There's every once in a while that little light goes off with some people, and thank God it does.
Yeah. Before we leave this topic about, we'll call it using people or just being insincere in relationships, I think that we would be remiss if we didn't touch on the possible pitfalls of being someone who likes to get over on people on social media. You know, I think everybody needs to be aware and be careful. You know, when you're on Facebook, when you're on Twitter, when you're on Instagram, any of these different things, that, again, you are fostering a relationship in an honest and real way.
Like name dropping because you're Facebook friends with Chris McHugh. He doesn't know who you are, but you act like you're all that, you know. I don't know, man. I see a lot of that stuff, and it's like just... To most people, you're looking like an idiot. But as far as on a more personal, local, professional circles level, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with genuinely pursuing getting to know someone. You know, someone you admire, someone that you... that's doing some things you would like to be doing and all of that. But in your approach and desire to befriend them, you know, I think it's important to keep in mind that if you really truly want to benefit from someone in that regard, developing just a genuine relationship with them is the most important thing.
Yep.
Because Oh yeah, I'd love to be doing big R&B tours. So should I, you know, just chat with Little John Roberts for, you know, two or three times on Facebook and then just ask him to hook me up? You know, no. You know what I mean? But that there's people that really feel like that's gonna happen.
And it absolutely happens as far as like from the standpoint people try that.
Yeah, it's dumb. Stop, don't do that. You know, I mean, if you truly want to have a relationship with someone, show the respect of making it exactly that and not, you know, a stepping stone to your goals or anything like that. Because not only are you going to more than likely benefit more if you genuinely develop that relationship, but again, it could be a lifelong, beneficial, awesome, rewarding relationship as well, because it's founded in what we truly as humans should be focused on, and that's just connecting with respect and
integrity. And yeah.
Integrity. Yeah.
Yeah. Because
so social media has opened up the door for a lot of that.
It sure
not
has.
Being the case, and it's yeah. something to be careful of.
Well, yeah, just having the relationship should be the reward in itself. You know, true. not necessarily expecting the rewards of gigs or, you know, being a coattail rider or anything like that. Yeah, if you're going to have a relationship with somebody, or if you're going to pursue a relationship with somebody you've never met before, I think you do have to be, you know, it's one of those things that does seem suspicious, doesn't it? That you just come out of nowhere on social media.
Yeah.
You know, to somebody, the first thing they're going to think of is, what does this person want? So, yeah, the integrity behind maintaining a relationship with somebody, man, is that's everything.
Everything. And, you know, it could even be, I don't know, I'm trying to think of like I know of some people that are doing huge, huge gigs now. And it's like the thought never even crosses my mind to be like, yo, man, hook me up. I'm not wired like that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I kind of almost feel like, man, if the right thing comes along and you're what they feel is the right person for it, they're going to hook you up. But don't just start putting expectations or, you know, false hope on someone's success just because you do have a relationship with them that maybe even is established and respectful and found in respect and all that. You know, be careful about not, you know, taking advantage of people who are successful.
Right.
You know, even if you have a good relationship with them, it's not fair to put that on anybody. Like, look, man, you're killing it now. You are touring the world with so-and-so. So now you got to hook me up. No, I'm a firm believer in not putting that out there. And sometimes it could be detrimental to a relationship. You know, they might just be like, man, I can't even take that, you know?
Right. It would make the other person almost feel like that it was expected that you hook this person up
yeah.
because of the relationship.
Nobody owes you anything.
Yeah.
So to put pressure on someone who's, you know, put their time in or got that lucky break, it doesn't matter. You know, when it comes to relationships, man, keep in mind the genuine and honest nature of it is more important than anything.
Because as we stated earlier, that might be the only thing that lasts past these gigs, past sessions, past mm-hmm. lessons, whatever. So yeah, the relationships are crucial. You really never have enough.
No, I can't. I can't even imagine like not continuing to meet people. And I love it, man. There's, you know, I mean, at our age too now, I'm meeting some younger guys, and it's fascinating to see what drives them. You know, what they think is cool and what isn't. You know, like all of these things. So, I mean, never ever bury your head in the sand, and especially in this business, man. It's all about relationships. And I guess what's most important with it is kind of what we keep bringing up, you know, like all of these relationships need to be founded in some things I came up with were like respect, you know, sometimes empathy, you know, man, oh, you got let go on that gig, or, oh man, that record deal didn't work out. And, you know, instead of being like, at least you had a chance.
Right.
You know, no, it's the other way, man. Like, man, I'm sorry, man. What can I do to help you out? You know, what can I do to get you back on the local thing if you were dumped from a tour, or, you know, your band broke up that was on an upward trend, you know, and it just everything, the floor falls out from under you, you know. Those things are important, you know. And again, like, you know, back to when we were young and, you know, encouraging each other. Well, man, I need that right now. I'm, you know, 50 plus years old, and I got, you know, I've had a nice run, and I'm, there are days when I'm just like, man, I'm like, I'm just, am I forgotten? Is it over? What, you know, like having friends that sometimes will just say, man, I heard something you played on the other day. It just blew me away. That stupid little thing could turn someone around. You know, that's what's important in relationships. Not, I got to call Phil because he has an answer to some technique thing for me, or he has a symbol I can use, or, you know, like, man, no, it's not always going to just be this, you know, get in that mindset of being a giving and encouraging person and friend, and even more importantly than that, an honest friend.
Yep.
You know, there's too many people, and especially creatives, they want you to tell them what they want to hear. And sometimes it's like, no, man, it's just not happening. Or, hey, you know what? You know, you're approaching this aspect of your pursuing gigs all wrong, because all you're doing is just stepping on people, shoving people aside. You're not taking into account, you know, that if I go in here and muscle my way into this, what that could be a dude with three kids, you know, and that's some income for them. You've got to be, you know, you have to be honest with people in that respect too. Like, man, dude, you can't do that, you know, because long term they're going to suffer.
You know who I've heard is masterful with relationships, like cultivating relationships and then just really maintaining them?
Who's that?
Mariah Carey. She's just so forthright with all of her people. She never surrounds herself with yes men.
Man, I ain't touching this. Nope.
What, you bucking for a gig?
Nope. I'm not. I have no desire to work for her, but I ain't touching it.
Oh,
there was a bunch of argument about all that on social media recently. You don't know what it's like, you know, as a professional to be in that situation. And, well, she's a diva and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, whoa.
I feel like you and I have worked enough that we know where the truth lies in all this.
Look.
You can find our answer behind the paywall, folks, for
$10.99
a month.
I will never know what it's like to be three quarters undressed and singing for an audience of millions on New Year's Eve. I can tell you that much.
You just crushed my dream.
I know, you little sicko.
Ah, John, it's time for our segment. You want me to go first?
You're going to have to.
Folks, we haven't had an underrated drum track in a long time. Or as John likes to say, this is our underrated drum track of the quarter. But I've got a good one for you today. And you could say that this one also falls under the underrated drummer as well. So I'm going to go with a Pittsburgh drummer named Roger Humphreys. And the track I'm going to go with is off of the Horace Silver Cape Verdean Blues album, and the track is Nutville. You know that one, John?
I don't.
Oh, that's a good one.
I should.
Let me tell you. Let me say this. I'm going to call a YouTube commenter out on all this because it's funny. I actually laughed. I have to say I have to laugh at this, but it's something I love to call this kind of folk out. I was listening to this wonderful track, and it's got a bunch of nobodies on there like Woody Shaw, Joe Henderson, J.J. Johnson, Bob Cranshaw.
Up-and-coming hacks.
Bunch of up-and-coming hacks, right? This is a track that was recorded back in 1965, and there's this just blistering version that I'm listening to, and someone under the YouTube comments put, "Yeah, man, Nutville, 1979 Spirit of Atlanta." Oh, I love it, man, when people say that, like, these definitive versions of songs are done by drum and bugle corps. Man, did you hear Chicago Symphony do Bartok Concerto for Orchestra? Yeah, man, but what about Blue Devils 1991? So anyway, I got off topic there a little bit, but I thought it was funny. Man, I laughed for 10 minutes when I saw that comment under there.
That's pretty good.
It is. Yeah, but Roger Humphreys is a Pittsburgh jazz drummer. Still lives up there, still performs to this day. And he played in one of Horace Silver's groups back in the mid-60s. So back to this track, Nutville. It's an up-tempo Latin to swing number. And I guess you might call a Latin groove, it's kind of like a up-tempo mambo. And it just goes all throughout the song. It goes back and forth between Latin and swing. And he does a smoking nice solo at the end of the song. But that's my pick. It's Nutville. Roger Humphreys is the drummer, and it's off of the Horace Silver album, Cape Verdean Blues. You'll be able to find it. I'll put it up on our YouTube channel.
Awesome.
Yeah, where you can hear the track. It's a lengthy little track, too. It's about 7.5 minutes long. It's got J.J. Johnson's playing bone on it as well. So there's like three horn solos, piano solo, and a drum solo. I don't think Cranshaw solos on bass.
Fellas had something to say.
They did, and they said it well. This guy, Roger Humphreys, also, he's got a fair amount of chops he's playing on this thing as well. So for our chops loving folks, his solo has got some guts to it.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to hearing that. Phil's choices are always exhilarating and challenging.
Are you trying to cultivate our relationship?
I typically need a friend to call me and walk me off the ledge after listening to them. But nonetheless, a brilliant choice, I'm sure.
Thank you.
So, Phil's other choice of underrated drum tracks is going to be disguised as my choice. This fella has played on a hit or two. Love-hate relationship with the many, but track record proves he had something going on. The underrated track of this hit master name, you might know this guy, Ringo Starr.
Never heard of him.
He was a session guy. He ghost drummed for a lot of guys.
Did he play back for Robert Plant?
And never told anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. He actually played with Robert Goulet.
All right.
There you go. I brought us full circle.
All right.
This track is brilliantly understated and many of us would have gone to some standard cross-stick nonsense presented to us, but the Beatles in my life is—I think I love it more and more as time goes on.
It's hard to play, man.
It's hard to play, and you know, going into that B section, you know, you got to kind of tang the hump, if you will.
Yeah,
which is kind of unnatural for me. Like that whole tip on the bell thing, you know.
Yep.
But I do it out of respect. And it's one of those grooves where you got to have everybody around you trusting and locked in and doing their part too, because it's an open groove in that there's not this constant subdivision. And I think that's what makes it more difficult than anything. I mean, sometimes you're a brain dead. You're like, oh, wait, whoa. It's an end of a three hi-hat.
I was going to ask you something about that. Mm-hmm. When you have to, I have to play that tune fairly regularly.
Yeah, we do too.
Do you ever like ghost drum some eighths on your leg or anything before you hit that little stab before the snare drum?
I do that all the time with like a ton of different grooves where there's no continuous eighth note or whatever. I do that all the time. And it's just natural. We are always thinking subdivision when we're playing. Well, why not play subdivision while we're doing something, even if it's not to be heard? So yeah, I do that. And sometimes I approach that tune a little more heavy-handed in that big stage, you know, whatever, if it is, you know, loud environment, I might alter that a little bit and play a slightly different version of that groove. But I assure you, out of respect to all that is the Beatles and Ringo, I can play that song as is.
Totally underrated track, man.
Yeah, man. It's
difficult to play.
It's so great, too. And it's creative and not in any pretentious way either.
Right.
You know, we know some tracks that are like, you know, is that end of three bell? I'll shut up now.
Good call, John.
What is that? What you're calling yourself these days?
I just brought it up in just general friendly conversation. Who am I to tell you not to use it, right?
Yet again, it's clear Phil is far more prepared than I, and even does my homework. What a cat. I love this guy. Thank you.
We're building our relationship. That's all I got today.
That's that trust and empathy,
honesty,
and encouragement, and honesty, and
integrity.
And sometimes, you know, you need to pick up your fellow brother. And we're living proof of these relationships being beneficial beyond gigs.
Truth in advertising.
There you go.
All right, folks. Thanks for listening to the show. We greatly appreciate it. Always reach out to us. You can contact us through our email address, drummersweeklygroovecast@gmail.com. Facebook account, facebook.com/drummersweeklygroovecast, and twitter.com/DWGroovecast. And as always, we appreciate your support and your positive reviews left for us on iTunes. Just go to our iTunes page, our Drummers Weekly Groovecast page there at iTunes, and leave us a short review telling us how much you love us. We'd greatly appreciate it. Until next week, see you then.
Go make a new friend. Make it last.
Bye.